It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
To another sparkling edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him, Matt Kelly.
Hello.
Hello. We're into the first week back at work now, I guess. So yeah. Everybody's... I'll tell you what I couldn't believe is how quiet London was last week, which was the week between sort of Christmas and New Year, I suppose.
Yeah.
There was literally nobody around.
But it was weird, wasn't it? It seems to have gone on forever, that Christmas break.
I think it must be because of the Tuesday, Wednesday thing.
Yeah. I was really glad to go back. I think most people sort of ducked out on Thursday and Friday, didn't they?
Yeah, a lot of people did. I mean, I was back working last week, like all of it, apart from New Year's Day.
I was back Thursday and Friday.
Which was good. But, you know, I've got this real pain in the ass problem that I've got to solve this week, which is that on the trip to Scotland, on the way back, I think it was, we noticed there was a little nick in the windscreen.
Yeah.
And I couldn't quite see it. Because you know how behind the mirror there's this kind of blob of black spots?
Yes.
Which I presume is something to do with...
It sort of filters the sun, doesn't it?
I don't know what it does, to be honest.
I think it just sort of... Yeah.
Anyway, so as we get into the car to drive back, on the way back, we didn't stop in St Helens, you'd be pleased to know. We stopped closer to Stoke, funnily enough.
Mate, you will never be able to stop in St Helens.
I'm never going back there. Absolutely never going back. Stoke was a little bit better, but I was still a bit worried about the car getting stolen.
Honestly.
No!
You're so prejudiced against Northerners.
No, it's nothing to do with that. It's to do with the fact that you're parking a car outside a hotel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're a car thief, you're a magnet, aren't you? If I was a car thief, I'd go, right, let's head to all the hotel car parks through the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And if there's anything decent, we'll have it, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of kept waking up thinking everything's going to be gone, We get in the car the final day to drive back, because I've got to drive these idiots, my family as I call them, back to Sussex, right? Because I can't just go back to London. I've got to take them back to Sussex on the Sunday and then come back to London because I'm going to work on the Monday.
Yeah.
So we get in the car and suddenly we notice that the little sort of nick has now gone into like a crack.
And it's going,
and as we're driving, it's getting bigger and bigger. Now, I'm not an expert in cars, as you probably know. So I'm thinking, shit. I better call someone because I might have to get them, so they can come out to a service stop.
Yeah.
So I then suddenly realised that I can't remember who I've leased the car from,
right?
Because it might be the same people I leased the last one from, but I'm not absolutely sure. But that's the only number I've got, so I ring them up, and it's this company called Lex
Leasing. Oh, I know, Lex Leasing,
And I get this nice woman on the phone, and I said, look, and I'm driving down the M6 this point, I'm in a bit of a rage because I'm thinking, I really don't want to have to stop and wait for a bloody autoglass guy for 3 hours in a lay-by, Anyway, happily, the first thing she said to me, she said, well, if it's on the passenger side and it's a vertical, you'll be fine.
Right.
She said that, the way they just
go down.
Because I remember as a kid, my mother's windscreen shattering.
Yeah.
And it literally was like one of those films.
Crazy
the whole thing just shattered.
Right.
We had to knock it out.
That's right.
And then drive without a windscreen.
Well, I remember clearly a holiday in Devon and it happened to my dad's car.
Yeah.
And we knocked it out and then we drove it to the garage and my dad was waving out of the front window at people.
Yeah.
We were like, what?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was all jaggy.
Yeah.
Right? But you sort of had to pull it out almost in one piece.
That's right.
So once I knew that we didn't have to stop, I said, can I get this back to Sussex then? About a 4 hour drive. Oh yeah, not a problem. And I said, great, so maybe you can have somebody meet us there and fix it up. Well, I don't think we'd be able to do that, but we could do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I won't be there tomorrow. So I've given her, like, I'm on the phone here at this point. I've given her this, you know, all this information. And she's going, I can't find the car on the
it's not
on the system. And I said, she said, it might be because it's so new. Yeah. I said, well, you know, 2 months old, I suppose. I said, you would think it would be on the system. Anyway, so I put the phone down, quite happy, and they were going to call me tomorrow to arrange to come and do it in London. So I then get back to London the Sunday night, where I realise it's not Lex's car at all, right? And find out who really leased it to me.
Yeah.
Ring them up. They put me through to Autoglass. It turns out, right, that not only do they have to come and fix it in, but I then have to take the car to calibrate the windscreen. Right? Because the windscreen is no longer just a piece of glass.
No.
It is a piece of very sensitive electronic equipment,
which
I suppose is right, because it's got all sorts of sensors on it, you know. Then they try to flog me a new pair of wipers. They said, oh, we could bring you some new Bosch wipers, 36 quid, because the thing is, if you've had a cracked windscreen, you might have little shards of glass, which will scratch the new one.
Yeah.
I said this to a few people, they went, that'd be stupid. You don't need any new bloody, you know. Yeah. The car's 2 months old, forget about it. Yeah. But so now I have to wait for them to come and put the glass in. When they've done that, I then have to ring to arrange to take it to a Range Rover dealer where they can calibrate. And I don't even know what calibrating it means. I don't know how long it takes. I know.
It'll be the, I bet it's the rain sensor. You know, like.
Oh, it could be, yeah.
When it detects rain.
Yes, it could be that.
Yeah. I had that with my Volvo, and that was when I realised that I had a rain sensor on the Volvo.
Right.
They said, is it a rain sensor? And I said, nah. And then they said, then the guy came and he said, this is a rain sensor.
Yeah.
Oh, I said, is it? Yeah, oh, great.
It's like, so when I've got, say, the, I've got when the you're doing insurance, have you got, has a car got an immobiliser, right?
Yeah.
I would just say yes.
Of course.
Because I assume it does. Yeah. But I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just take the key out, it's immobile.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, does it mean that you're supposed to have some other device?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Well, I don't think so. It's, I mean, unless it's one of those things where you have to put like one of those yellow things in the steering wheel.
Oh, God. Well, people are doing that now because apparently it's so easy to steal these modern cars now.
Is it?
Yeah. Because all these guys, the real professionals, this is what I was thinking about when I was thinking these real professionals.
Yeah.
You know, see a car like that, pretty new, they might as well just fucking steal it, right?
Yeah.
And apparently if you can record the frequency,
right,
which is what, you know, opens the car,
yeah,
you basically can get they can then replay that and you can get in.
I remember a great story about the Ford factory up in Speke in Merseyside, and it was about, must be about 30 years ago, and Ford had developed this new locking technology, which was like
a steering lock type thing.
Well, it was the door locks,
right,
and it was uncrackable, you know, it was uncrackable, it was real advance in technology. Right. And the guy came to, from over from the States, the chief exec, to sort of wave the first car off the production line and make a big song and dance about it, and all the press were there and everything. And as they were just announcing the car coming off the line, this fella said, I can get into that. And everything stopped. And this guy walked up with half a tennis ball and put it against the thing. It went boomf like that on the tennis ball.
Right.
And all the locks pinned up on it.
Brilliant.
It was defeated by a vacuum.
Isn't that similar to what happened to Elon Musk when he tried to unveil that?
Yes. He said, here, I'll watch this. And he threw an iron ball at it and went straight through the window.
And he went, well, that didn't happen in practice.
No, that's right.
Oh, my God. So, anyway, while we've been away, obviously the kind of the fallout from the election has been going on. And I was absolutely amazed at how kind of Corbyn has just taken it so badly.
Yeah.
You know. And
graceless.
And really graceless.
Who'd have thought?
But also, I know, but also hasn't got this good sense to just take a step to the side.
Yeah.
Because even though everyone goes, oh, well, he has to be in charge of the process. Why does he have to be in charge of the process? I can't imagine any other business, right, where the guy is a complete failure.
Yeah.
If he was running an organisation or a company, you'd get pay him off, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd just say, cheerio.
You'd pay him off, you'd sack him.
Well, you'd sack him for gross incompetence.
Yeah.
But at any event, what you wouldn't do is let him stand about and pick his successor.
Well, I think, aren't they all in denial? Because the crushing truth is crushing, which is that all of the shit they've been spouting for the last 3 years has been completely rejected.
Yeah.
You know, and all of this, all of these planks on, sorry to borrow.
No, please do.
All of these planks on TV, all these Corbynites saying, that the policies were right.
Yeah.
You know,
everybody agreed with them.
No, they weren't.
Well, no, I mean, if you go up to somebody and say, here's a third off your rail fare, well, of course you're going to say, okay, I'm agreeing with
nationalising rail, I think, was the one thing that did resonate with people. Right. But apart from that...
But no, do you remember that ridiculous... I came across it just the other day, fun enough, because I was looking at this fact-checking organisation to see... I'm always trying to see who funds these people.
Yeah.
But I think the people who actually are called Fact Check or whatever...
Yes, I know them, yeah.
The ones who work for Facebook, right? Yeah. And have made, believe it or not, in the first half of this year, something like $200,000 from Facebook.
Have they?
Yeah. Because Facebook have them check stuff on Facebook. Great. Depending on how much stuff they check,
this
might be something we should be talking to people about.
Getting into business.
Yeah. 200,000 fucking notes off of Facebook for checking out facts on Facebook.
Very good.
But this was the thing about how, you know, your average family will save $6,000 a year.
Yeah.
Which was completely debunked by this mob, because they said this is based upon people who travel by rail, which most people don't do, and people who have childcare, which most people don't have.
Yeah.
And well, it was a basic saving, because they were going to give you the free childcare.
Like, the point is that they were just too thick to make it work, I'm afraid to say.
Yeah.
They weren't smart enough. No. And I hate to say it, I mean, Dominic Cummings, who... has got
Really is the evil genius.
But he's got an ego the size of a house.
Yeah.
But you have to say, he clearly has got a strategy, he's super intelligent, and he's making it work.
Also,
you know?
I love the idea that he's trying to recruit people into the business of running the country.
Yes.
Because that's exactly what people complain about all the time.
Yeah.
That all we've got is these kind of policy wonks out of Whitehall.
Yeah.
Or people who have worked at the House of Commons as researchers suddenly become MPs or become senior civil servants or special advisors. He's basically saying to the rest of the country, why don't you come and work in Downing Street?
You know what? I like that note.
I love that.
Because, and I'll tell you, all of my mates were taking the piss out of
were
it.
They?
And all the people I know on Twitter were taking the piss out of it.
What, you mean the sort of the supercilious, condescending Ramoners?
Well, I mean, well, the Ramoners, or the Remainers, or whatever we're called now these days. The ex-Remainers.
The Rejoiners, as you call them.
I think Rejoiners is the new phrase.
Yeah.
But, and they were all savaging this as a prime example of dickheadery.
Right.
And I thought, I read it and I thought, that's great.
No, I was inspired by it. I mean, if I was younger,
I'd apply.
I would actually put myself up for it, because he's the sort of guy I'd quite like to work for.
Well, there was a bit where it said something like, you know, talented weirdos or something like this. And I thought, mate, that's my middle name.
That's exactly, I mean, exactly. And also, you know, think of it outside of the box. You know, one of the things that's actually, I was talking to somebody about it the other day, who said, well, one of the things that he also achieved by doing that job application thing was he got people talking about reform of the civil service.
That's right.
Which is possibly the most boring subject that anybody would ever want to talk about. But people were talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've got a friend who works in the Ministry of Overseas Development who's quite worried, because I think they're going to merge that with the Foreign Office.
Mm.
And if he's going to start cutting his way through the civil service, regardless of the fact that people say, oh, yeah, but he's not elected, why should he be doing that? You know, there's loads of unelected people influencing what it is that we do.
Yeah.
And if he can reform Britain in the form of the civil service, I think it's a great place to start, isn't it?
But, so they had all of that intelligence on one side,
yeah.
And on the other side, on Labour's side, you had Seamus Milne and a load of other marginal...
A load of sort of nutty Marxists.
Sort of, just, I mean, and but school kid Marxists.
Yeah.
You know?
Like Angela Rayner. I mean, I'm sorry to pick on Angela Rayner, but she's not very bright.
Yeah.
Rebecca Long Bailey at least appears to have a brain.
Definitely.
But Angela Rayner really doesn't.
No.
And, you know, John McDonnell is quite a clever guy.
Yeah.
But he's kind of consumed by his bitterness and his fucking anger
and his hatred. Yeah.
And it comes across, he's sinister. It. There's no doubt about it.
What do you think?
And Corbyn's just grumpy.
Well, Corbyn just looked... I mean, he's affirmed everybody's suspicions now, I think, which is that at the heart of it, he's quite a nasty guy,
well,
I think.
Oh, I think he is, because an awful lot of these lefties are. I mean, when you saw his tweet about Iran, where he's basically having a go at Trump, but not having a go at the Iranians.
Yeah, well, he's been paid by...
Well, hang on a minute.
He was getting paid by the Iranian
state. But he was on press TV, wasn't he? And of course, his apologists will say, well, lots of people appear on press TV. No, he had a show.
That's right.
And he was paid a regular amount of money by this regime. And he continued to work for them even after they shot that student. Because remember, Nick Ferrari used to do a show for press TV.
Did he?
And at one point, because there was a lot of sort of talk radio type hosts who were approached by press TV because they wanted to be an alternative voice. And there was a couple of guys who worked at Talk Sport that did stuff there. And Ferrari basically quit the day that they shot the female student protester in Tehran, I remember, quite a few years back. And he said, I'm not working for you anymore. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, so at least he had some principles.
He had a line.
But, you know, but Corbyn didn't.
No.
You know, and to him, you know, he probably does believe in his heart of hearts that the Iranian regime is a better regime than the Trump regime.
So I think Britain's had a really lucky swerve there. But I mean, so the other side to that statement is, you know, I still think Boris Johnson is potentially a car crash for us. But like we said the other week before Christmas, we're all in this together now. He is the Prime Minister.
Right.
He has got a huge majority. It's in no one's interests for him to fuck it up massively. No. So,
but then you've got people like Ed Davey, right, the Lib Dem sort of, I suppose he's acting leader, is he, at the moment, saying things like he wants to order some kind of inquiry into Brexit.
Ugh.
And you go, what? Ugh. Mate, you've just been completely horsed, worse than the Labour Party, at the election.
I've never heard
you've
that lost before. Horsed.
Yeah. That's good, so I think it might be a Scottish word. It's just fucked, basically. Horsed. You know, like beaten to a pulp in some way.
Is that what they do to horses in Scotland?
No, absolutely not. But
yeah.
What right has he even got to say that?
Yeah.
Never mind what support has he got for it. He's got no support for it at all.
The only interesting thing I've heard come out of the Liberal Democrats was Leila Miranda.
Yeah,
the pansexuality. Yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah, well, this is the same woman, by the way, who, as I rather humorously wrote on Twitter, likes hitting people with frying pans. Maybe that's what
she
it's
did,
about.
Yeah,
she did assault her...
frying pansexual.
former partner. This is the same woman who told me that I should not use violent language while describing the Catalonians getting beaten to a pulp by the police. Because it was...
They weren't doing it with a frying pan.
Well, maybe they, you know, the nightstick, the frying pan.
Yeah.
But you think to yourself, you know, I don't really care what her sexuality is.
No.
But, you know, I really had no idea that that you would need to come out and say something.
I just hadn't heard of pansexuality before.
No, I had to look it up,
to
be honest. And apparently it means basically that
you can have
sex with almost anyone. Yeah. Well, anyone, regardless of what their gender is or what they think their gender
is.
Or whether they think they're a man or a woman or a cis.
Whatever they're
identifying. I don't even know what they all are anymore, to be honest.
No.
But, I mean, good luck to her, I suppose, as far as I'm concerned. It's a bit like the Woody Allen thing where he goes, I guess you're increasing your chances of a date on a Saturday night, you know, by becoming bisexual, you know, because at least somebody's going to fancy you.
So, anyway, the Lib Dems have completely blown the greatest opportunity they've had for a long time.
They have. But what it also tells you, does it not, is that the bulk of people in this country do not want to remain in the European Union.
Oh, can we make a New Year's resolution?
Yeah.
That we just won't have that.
We'll have to talk
again
about it on the end of the month.
Yeah, but let's move on now.
Because don't forget, you'll be invited as my other half, I would have thought, as my plus one, to Nigel Farage's party in Westminster Square. I don't know where he's getting his budget from, by the way. This is a guy who has been with some very wealthy people.
Aaron Banks will be.
He thinks 100 grand is... I mean, that's what Piers Morgan spent on his party for his 50th birthday in his house.
Was it that cheap?
Well,
God, that was amazing.
All I know is he said that he spent the money he got from that lottery ad, you know?
Right.
So 100,000 didn't go very far.
Yeah.
Especially if you want fireworks.
Yeah.
Apparently the fireworks cost about 3 million for New Year's Eve, right?
What did you think of them?
I thought they were great, actually.
But didn't it say European or something like that?
Well, no, that was last year, wasn't it?
No, it was this year.
Was
it blasted out the word European again.
Oh, did it?
I thought you'd be seething.
Why? Well, I was quite pissed.
Because it was clearly a Sadiq Khan.
Oh, right.
Insidious.
I don't really have a particularly bad view of Sadiq
Khan. I
think he doesn't do his job very well.
Right.
But I'm not obsessed with it.
The knife crime thing is going to be his...
Well, do you know, I came back into London, funnily enough, last night. From Sussex, and I'm coming down Shooter's Hill, Blackheath.
Yeah.
Police everywhere.
Yeah.
Right. And I, so much so that the traffic was stopped. The people with dogs. Apparently, they were chasing some stabbing scenario.
Well, there was a Deliveroo ride that was killed in
Fitzroy
Park.
That's not far away, right?
Right.
Because that was weird. Because that seemed to be an altercation, like road rage.
It was road rage, apparently.
But what that means is there's people driving around with knives in their car.
Yeah. Well.
Doesn't it?
Well, I don't know the circumstances, but it's...
from what I understood, the driver gets out into an altercation with the guy.
Has anyone been arrested yet?
I don't know.
No.
I'm not sure.
It might be sub judice.
Well, I don't care about that.
I know, clearly.
Because we haven't mentioned anyone by name.
Yeah, but you can still influence
You can't influence... If it's a magistrate's court, there won't be any jury.
Yeah, but it'll go to Crown.
Yeah, but there's been no charges brought.
I mean,
this is one of the mistakes that
people make.
Folks,
this was what me and Mike sat through
30
years ago.
This is one of the mistakes that people used to make all the time, where they would say, and this, the jury actually, bizarrely, is still out on this, funnily enough, but they would say, oh no, proceedings have started once the crime is committed. It's an
active
case.
That's not true.
That's
once an arrest has been made.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, not even once an arrest has been made. In my view, it's once a charge has been brought.
No, it's once an arrest has been made.
I don't think so.
Right. Well, if anybody hasn't fallen asleep by now, can you please Google it and let us know?
No, because but it used to be, unless it's changed, yeah. Right? It used to be that once a charge was brought, yeah. You could not discuss the case, and you could not write about the case.
Yeah.
You could talk about the charge.
Yeah.
And you could name the person, and you could even post their address.
And you could say what they were wearing and stuff.
Yeah,
like
and all of that.
When they turn up to court.
Yes. But you cannot discuss what may have happened or may not have happened.
Yeah.
But until the charge, I believe that you can.
So my contention, Malud, is that proceedings are active, which is the phrase we use for when all of that kicks in.
Yes.
When an arrest has been made. But anyway, we'll find out. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Anyway, so horrible knife thing. But going back to the...
Oh, so going back to the fireworks.
The fireworks. Right? All these people standing there like 20 deep on the embankment for 15 minutes on New Year's Eve.
I know.
I can't believe
it's worse than that, right? Because where we used to work, we now work, you know where we work now, London Bridge.
Yeah.
We used to be a bit further down. I don't know if you ever, did you ever come to the old office?
I think I did.
A bit further down, sort of Stamford Street, like between Blackfriars and Waterloo.
Yes, basically. I did,
So we were right in the middle of that whole closed off area, right?
Yeah.
Now, years ago, it used to be just a free-for-all, right? But now, they've done what they've done at Edinburgh, where there's a huge row going on with Hogmanay, where they've basically issued tickets.
Yeah.
So you now have to buy a ticket.
Yeah.
And when I was working at TalkSport years ago, in the old building, if you were working on that evening, you had to have a special pass to get into work.
Right.
Because they'd have all these bouncers and gates and all sorts of things, right? Yeah. But in the old days, people would just sort of go, but they would start drinking and sort of hanging about from about 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah, what, so, in London or Edinburgh?
Yeah, no, this is in London, by the river.
Because Edinburgh on is Princes Street, isn't it?
Princes Street Gardens, where they do it.
My God, that is a rammy.
Well, do you know, not anymore, though. This is the row. The row at the moment is it's been taken over by the Underbelly, who are the people who run the festival, basically.
Okay.
And they're two old Etonians, which doesn't, you know, can you imagine? You know what, the problem with Edinburgh...
That says everything about Edinburgh.
The problem with Edinburgh is too many English people
That's
there,
right? Yeah.
And they're all up there from sort of La-Vu-Dar land. Yeah. They're all sort of...
You know what they say, the difference between Glasgow and Edinburgh people?
Well, Glasgow's a real city.
So they say, when you turn up at someone's house in Glasgow, they say, come in, will you have some tea?
Yeah.
And when you turn up at someone in Edinburgh, they say, come in,
you'll have had your tea, yes.
And
that's
it
true.
Is like that.
That is the Glaswegian thing. Yeah. It's like St Andrews, you know, you go to St Andrews, you don't hear any Scottish voices at all.
No.
Everybody's English, because they're all, I think we go to St Andrews, like Prince William and Kate.
Posh jocks are more English than the English.
Yeah, but also, they're mostly English. Anyway, so what they've done, they've turned it into this kind of 48-hour... sort of festival right?
Yeah,
and so, like, for example, in the kind of about five, I was watching about 5 o'clock on Hogmanay night, instead of a load of drunks staggering about like you would expect in Edinburgh, they've got like a kids show in the Princes Street Gardens on the stage, you know, with all these kids TV presenters and stuff, you know.
Crap.
And then people who live there are moaning because this year they actually issued a dictum to say that if you're living within the area of the particular roped off section, you can get passes for people coming to your house.
Right.
So you can only have more, you can't have more than six.
You're kidding.
So if you have
forget about the party.
So if you want a party, and there was a guy that rang into the show from Rose Street, which you might
know. Yeah, that's the one behind, isn't it? Yeah.
And he's like, you know, he said it's like a police state. He said, you can't go anywhere. He said, I've had Portaloos up in my street for about 2 weeks.
That's nuts.
It's an absolute shambles. And so they've completely kind of almost like theme park the shit out of it, right?
That's terrible.
And that's kind of what they're now doing in London.
That's terrible.
It's full of, I mean, I saw them interviewing them afterwards on the news and it was all foreigners.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I mean, to be honest, I don't care what they do in London with New Year because it's never been a really big deal. But in Scotland, people don't get it unless you've seen it. It's bigger than Christmas in Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
We always did
a massive Hogmanay as a kid, right?
Yeah.
We used to have ducking for apples in my house. Yeah. We used to have the treacle scone, which was this bizarre thing that looked a bit like a pirata hanging from the ceiling. And my dad would sort of wave it about, covered in treacle. You're supposed to try and take a bite out of it. Your face gets covered in treacle. It's great. And I would go to school whenever we came back from it, and go, and they'd be like, you did what?
Yeah.
And we'd have a first footer coming in with a lump of
coal. Yeah, we did that. Me and my brother did that in my mum and dad's in Warwick, which is a nice old tradition.
Yeah. But in England, none of that was going on. I mean, New Year was... And, of course, they still have 2 days off in Scotland. It's back on two bank holiday.
Just to get over the
hangover, yeah.
Good.
So, yeah, I mean, I was, funnily enough, I was at a mate of ours' house, Kevin O'Sullivan's.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
For New Year's Eve. And we, even though we started quite late, by the time, I think by the time the fireworks were on, we were pretty well away. So I didn't even notice the European bit at all. But what people did say who were there was that it was not very well put together because the wind, there was apparently no wind.
Right.
So the smoke didn't blow away.
Oh, that's
so
right. You were there, you couldn't really, see anything. That's what it seemed to be.
But on TV, it looked pretty good.
Yeah. No, it does. I mean, I just wonder about the cost of it, you know. And is it?
Yeah.
It's become like a competition between cities.
I mean, now the sort of the dread of watching Sky TV from kind of, you know, I think it started when I did a show New Year's Eve, so it started about 12:15.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's the fireworks in Auckland.
That's right.
Oh, look, there's the fireworks in Sydney. Yeah. Oh, you know, and that was made slightly more interesting by the ravaging bushfires going on around.
My God, that's bad, isn't it?
Isn't that weird?
It's extraordinary. I heard
And also, how has this now become a political football?
Yeah.
Because, of course, all the people on the left are saying it's all to do with climate change.
Yeah.
And all the people on the right, I saw some bloke from UKIP the other day tweeting out, he's a member of the London Assembly, tweeting out about how, what the bollocks it is that it's climate change.
And, they're
and
also,
here's a statement from the volunteer fire department in New South Wales, who are saying it's nothing to do with climate change.
Well, what do they know?
Well, they're firemen.
What? Firemen?
Volunteer firemen.
God bless them, but they're not climate scientists.
Well, no, but what they are is people who fight fires, right?
But how can they know what this to do because with climate change?
Because what they're saying is that every single season...
Yeah, there half is, of Australia burns to the ground.
There's a fire season.
And no one's noticed before.
No, there's a bushfire season,
this
right?
This is the first time.
Hang on, the clue is in the fact that it's a fucking season, right? It's like the football season. It happens every year.
Yeah, but this is on a huge scale.
This is on a much bigger scale. And their reasoning for why it's on a much huge scale...
Is that they've not done their jobs properly. That,
they've been prevented by the eco-planks... From actually,
this, and this is utter bollocks.
No, it's not. It's not utter bollocks.
I'll send you an article later.
Well, you can send me as many articles as you like.
And you won't read all of them.
Well, I might read them, but they'll be full of... No, they won't have any facts in. It's not doing the fucking new European, they won't. They'll be full of conjecture, predictions, and a lot of old shite. But the point is, right, they have not cleared it away.
Yeah.
And they have not burned the brush as they would normally burn it, which stops it. It's the same in this country. They used to, but we talked about this, used to burn the crops, Now, in Australia, because of this craziness about fucking damaging the climate and carbonising the atmosphere, they've stopped burning stuff.
Well, how much carbon's gone in now?
Well, exactly.
I said that to my kid.
Well,
I mean, it's enormous.
You know,
it's
the idea that you're now driving an electric car around North London, I think it's been slightly offset by the massive fucking smoke coming out of an entire
continent.
Don't
you just look at the news? Like, the news the other day, it had the fires there, it had Trump in Iran, which we should talk a bit about, and it had some other cataclysmic thing, and then the levity was the Labour Party.
I did a little guide to the BBC, you know, BBC News, this day, today, whatever it was, you know, Labour Party looking for a new leader, make sure you don't ask them about anti-Semitism, you know, second item, Australian bushfire, definitely mention climate change, you know, and then, you know, Trump, definitely make sure you say that, you know, the Iranian didn't get a fair trial. Because that's what the BBC's now become.
But
total bollocks.
Yeah, well, we don't know. I mean, yes, look, I mean, you know me, I'm sort of 70% ready on that. But it is, I mean, it is a shitty news agenda right now. There's a lot of horrible stuff going on. I'll tell you the other one was Bangladesh. I think it was like massive floodings.
But it floods every year.
Not every year.
Yes,
it does. Not like this, though.
The Ganges Delta,
I know, but
it's below sea level.
Do you know what you're like?
It's below sea level.
You're like Trump when he flew over the Arctic Circle and he took a picture of all the ice and he went, so much for climate change.
Yeah, exactly. What's wrong with that?
No, but it's all getting progressively worse.
No, it isn't.
It is.
No, it's because it hasn't been measured for long enough for you to know. How old do you think the Earth is, right?
I'll tell you, it's 4 billion years old.
Four. It's a lot more than 4 billion, isn't it?
No, it's 4 billion.
All right, well, if you take 4 billion...
Or it might be 7.5,
I think it's 16 billion, isn't it?
No, because the universe is 13.5 billion.
Is that
and
right?
I know that because I read it yesterday. I did, about some new space telescope that they've put up. Yeah,
anyway, it's billions of years old, right?
Yeah.
We've only really been capable of measuring the way the planet actually operates and whether the rain falls or whether the sun shines and whether the fucking
not strictly
true. Yes it is,
because you can tell by drilling geology terms.
Well, up to a point you can but you can't judge what the temperature was, the actual temperature, because they haven't been able to measure the temperature for more than about 200 years and that's a fact whether you like it or not. So to say that these Australian firemen don't know what they're talking about is typical of
them. They don't know what they're talking about.
They're putting fires out all year round.
Why are they qualified?
Because they're firemen.
So?
So if you want to get some advice on how to fireproof your house,
what
are you going to do? Go and talk to a climate scientist?
No, but it's like you don't go to a nurse and ask her to perform brain surgery.
Well, Well, you would if there was nobody else around.
No, you wouldn't.
You would.
Some nurse who's...
Hey, by the way, talking of climate change, did you see that I've replanted my Christmas tree?
I did see you that. Know? I loved it. And by the way, I think we should caveat every statement you've just made now by the fact that you believe that Christmas trees will grow back.
It will. Yeah. Listen, I have charged my youngest son to look after it. Right?
Yeah.
I've told him to make sure he...
If you switch it with a real tree...
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
How would I do that?
Did you tweet the photo?
I did. Tweet the photo. Yeah, I love it. People have seen it. People started actually giving me advice, which is the great thing about Twitter, right?
Yeah.
One guy said, I'm not sure that's going to work.
Yes.
Once the roots have gone, they've gone,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Another guy said, I don't see any signs of any digging.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, why would you see signs of digging? You know, I've put it in a hole. It's already been dug. The fucking hole is covered up.
That's the maddest thing I've ever heard of.
But you wait and see.
Yes, I will.
You wait and see.
I will.
Now, don't you judge too soon.
I will.
Because you will absolutely...
If that thing grows new roots and is still... And isn't brown by the end of this month, I will...
I will confess
that it was a good thing to leave the European Union and deny climate change.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I don't deny climate change, as I've told you before.
Because you don't think there's anything to deny.
No, I just question it. That's all I do. I question things. I don't believe everything I'm told, like some kind of, you know, child.
Unless it's some New South Wales fireman.
Well, I think a fireman in New South Wales who fights bushfires every single fucking year during the bushfire season probably knows quite a lot about the bushfire situation.
Well,
he probably
knows about putting them out, but he probably doesn't know much about...
No, but he knows about how they start.
The fact that this year half the size of England have now gone up in flames.
Yeah, but it's a bit like the Amazon.
It's a bit
like the Amazon, right?
Yeah.
The Amazon has fires every year, right? But the media focused on them this year because it suited them. Okay. No,
did they?
Yes, they did. Right, okay. About 3 or 4 months ago, everyone was going on about crazy, you know, oh my God, the Earth's dying. Look, there's a fire in the Amazon.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that actually there's a fire every fucking year in the Amazon.
Yeah.
And it wasn't any bigger than the one they had last year
or
the year before. But the BBC got hold of it, and fucking Richard Attenborough, or David Attenborough, whatever his fucking name is, came out with some bollocks. And they all went, oh my God, it's all getting a lot worse. It's not, is it?
I spoke to
a friend of mine in Sydney the other day, right? And she was totally relaxed about it.
Yeah.
Because it's not...
No, I have to be honest. We've got a friend in Sydney.
And she was fine.
And she was relaxed about it.
And it wasn't like...
It's all right, we're going...
I mean, I felt like saying to her, please make sure you stay safe. And she's like, I'm fine. I've got a glass of champagne. I'm out on the balcony looking out to sea. It's a bit smoky.
It's only Melbourne.
It's a bit smoky.
Who cares?
Well... I mean, to be honest, you could lose half of Australia and nobody would give a shit. But
no,
there's nothing there. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
And this is why I find it a really weird story, because it feels like it's some apocalyptic event.
Yeah.
But half the country doesn't think it is.
But one day it will be the apocalypse.
Well, that's another prediction, isn't it? Well, that's another prediction that you'll probably get wrong, like all your own predictions.
But you'll be sitting there going, those four horsemen they're just fellas on horses.
Yeah.
They're just fellas on horses. Yeah. All right.
You actually think there's going to be four
horsemen. And I'll be
horsemen.
Going, no, mate, that is the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Really?
And you'll be going, no. Right up until the point you get slung into the fiery pit of...
Right. Well, when are you going to take your newspaper online and save the planet instead of cutting down on the fucking trees that you have to
make
to produce it
for
every fucking week?
For your information...
Yeah.
Our newspaper is on 90% recycled newsprint.
Oh, great.
And...
You're still using paper.
And it's a fact, when you cut down a tree and you plant a new one, the new one creates more good stuff.
Well, I'm the one that's planted a tree, I think you'll find. I mean, you know, let's talk about planting trees.
Yes, you planted a dead tree.
No, I haven't.
That's your contribution to saving the planet.
I've literally
stuck a dead Christmas tree in a hole in your garden.
No, it's not dead. It's still got loads of leaves. It's got loads
it's
of spines.
It's got no roots.
It doesn't matter. It can grow them. Right?
Good God.
Have you not heard of the worm?
Britain, this is what you are in the hands of.
Have you not heard of the worm, which when you cut it in half becomes two worms?
But that's bollocks.
What?
It just wriggles away and dies.
Oh, well, how does it die?
It's... What do you think? It suddenly develops two heads?
Well, I don't know.
Do you think its arse suddenly becomes a head?
I don't think it's got an arse and a head. Has it, a worm?
Of course it's got an arse. Where do you think it shits?
No,
it eats at one end and shits at the other.
Does it?
Yeah, and if you chop a worm in half, people go, oh, look, there's two worms now. All it is the two halves wriggling. The one's in agony.
That's not true. That is rubbish.
So hang on a second. Let's get this straight. You believe that if you cut a worm in half... Any type of worm. You believe if you cut a worm in half, you create two worms.
You can. can't take any more.
This is like how the Labour Party does its voting. You cut a Labour person in half and they get two votes instead of one.
Listen, I've seen it. I've seen documentaries about it.
You have you?
I'm sure I have. I'm sure I have.
Hey, honestly. Listen. I think we'll have to come back to this one.
All right, we're just out of time anyway. Oh God! You've got an appointment at the gym. So,
that was the funniest one yet. I think so.
We'll come back to the worms because I'm sure there's a name for them. I'm going to find them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring one in.
They're called imaginary worms.
Bring one in and cut it for you, yeah, and you can watch the two worms living.
Right? And cohabiting.
Double worm.
Yeah.
Right.
Bye bye. I remember a great story about the Ford factory had been in Speak in Merseyside, and it must be about 30 years ago, and Ford had developed this new locking technology, which was
like a steering lock type thing.
Well, it was the door locks, and it was uncrackable. Mm. You know, it was uncrackable. It was a real advance in technology, and the guy came from the States, the chief exec, to sort of wave the first car off the production line. Mm. And make a big song and dance about it, and all the press were there and everything. And as they were just announcing the car coming off the line, this fella said, I can get into that. And everything stopped. And this guy walked up with half a tennis ball and put it against the thing. It went boomf like that on the tennis ball. Right. And all the locks pissed off.
Brilliant. We've only really been capable of measuring the way the planet actually operates, and whether the rain falls, or whether the sun shines, or whether the fucking earth...
Not strictly true.
Yes, it is.
Because you can tell by drilling geology terms.
Well, up to a point you can. but you can't judge what the temperature was, the actual temperature, because they haven't been able to measure the temperature for more than about 200 years.
Right.
And that's a fact, whether you like it or not.
Right.
So to say, these Australian firemen don't know what they're talking about, it's typical of them.
They don't know what they're talking about.
They're putting fires out all year round.
Why are they qualified?
Because they're firemen.
So?
So if you want to get some advice on how to fireproof your house, what are you going to do? Go and talk to a climate scientist?
No, but it's like you don't go to a nurse and ask her to perform brain surgery.
Well, you would if there was nobody else around.
No, you wouldn't. You believe if you cut a worm in half, you create two worms.
You can.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumb has been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.